For the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about this concept of awakening. And what does it mean to really engage in worship? And for a lot of us, when we hear the word worship or we hear that term used, it's kind of like a lot of other words in our vocabulary. We use it as multiple different forms in the English language. For instance, some of us use the word worship as a verb. Okay? I was worshiping. Okay? I love to worship. And through these things, we have this idea that worship is a verb. It's an action. It's something we do. Sometimes worship was used as an adjective. Okay? We meet with our team back before church starts on Sunday morning. And when I pray for our team before we come out, a lot of times, one of the things I'll say is, God, will you please be with our worship team today? It's that adjective saying, this is a team. I'm talking about them and what they do. This descriptor for them is that they are a worship team. Their job is to come up here and help engage us in worship. So then for others of us, worship becomes a noun. Worship is that thing that I go to. Worship is that event that takes place. You know, well, what are you going to do this morning? I don't know. I thought about going to worship. You know, maybe that could be kind of cool. You know, I mean, we use it in all these different terms. And one of the problems with that is that just like other things that get overused in our language, we begin to not really pinpoint what it is. And it just becomes all these things. And so what is worship to you might not be what is worship to somebody else. So for some of us, worship means the kind of music that I like. You know, well, yeah, I mean, that worship was great this morning. And what we really mean by that is I actually like the songs today for a change. Woo-hoo, you know. Everybody's like, oh, man, did you hear that worship today? That was horrible. I mean, I didn't like a single one of those songs. It was no good. It was no fun. Didn't like it, you know. And so for us, worship is something that we critique. For others of us, worship is that event. But yet, God intended worship to be something that is, in my descriptor, it is lived out relationship. I believe that true worship is not about music, although music is a vehicle for worship. I don't believe that worship is discipleship, but yet I believe discipleship is a vehicle with which we are able to worship God. I don't think worship is service, but yet I think service is a vehicle that we use to be able to worship God. Did I lose here? Am I out? Hello, hello, hello. Check, maybe. Because I do not have a voice to make it through without. I'm just being honest with you today. So nothing else. I got good battery up here. It's not battery. Probably, maybe. I say that, it's probably totally battery. I'm just messing with them back there because it's more fun that way. Check. Yes, no, bad connection. Oh, you made me hold something in my hand. I'm going to like knock myself out with that. You know how much I talk with my hands? Good luck. Yeah, good luck. Thank you. I'll be sitting here talking. And now, that's just not even nice. That's just not even cool. Now, but I'm not that bad, I promise, okay? Sit here talking and crack myself in the head with it or something. All right, I'll do my best. I take after my mother in this way. You tie down one of our hands, we can only talk out of half of our mouth. It's that kind of thing, okay? So that's what we're going to kind of do. So here's what happens. For us to truly understand worship, we must understand what it is. And worship is about living out a life in relationship with God in such a way that it honors Him in everything that we do. And in doing that, everything that we do becomes an act of worship. The way that I go to work and give my absolute best becomes an act of worship because the Bible tells me that I do it as if I'm doing it unto God Himself. The way that I interact with my friends becomes an act of worship because I do it as if I'm interacting in relationship with God Himself. Everything that I do, the way I care for my family, the way that I take care of those around me, all of that becomes an act of worship. Oh, are we back there now? Seriously? Oh, yes. Having technology that works is an act of worship. It's awesome. So here's what happens. For us to really wrap our minds around this concept of awakening to worship, we have to awaken to what worship means. So the first week we talked about those concepts and what worship is and isn't. And it's not just music, but yet music is this incredible vehicle that God gave us to be able to worship. And he tells us, sing to the Lord a new song. Gather together and sing praises to his name. That's something he commanded us to do. And so one of the reasons that we sing when we come together for our worship times is so that we can express worship to God. You understand that singing does not mean you worship. Singing means you sang. Okay? But for those whose hearts are in relationship with God and choose to use that singing as a vehicle for worship, they're able to express their worship to God. Last week, we talked about this interesting concept centered around Easter, where worship is about engaging with the Word. The Bible tells us that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Not only did he do the creating of man, but then he came to save man because the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And because he chose to come and live among us and offer himself as a perfect sacrifice for our sins, we have the opportunity to come into relationship with him, which is what allows us to be able to give our worship. But if I get asked one question more than any other when it comes to having a relationship with God, to really living it out, it's this. How do I hear from God? I mean, I get asked that more than anything else. How do I hear from God? I started watching a show recently. I'm not saying it's a good show, so please don't take this, you know, hey, Chad said go watch the show on TV. No, I didn't, okay? I was telling you, I got watching a show, it's a show called Vikings on the History Channel, because I watch the History Channel. And there's this guy, and he's under all this turmoil and everything. So he goes up on this hillside by himself, and he's sitting on a hillside in like Iceland or Greenland or wherever the Vikings are from. It's someplace cold, I'm telling you that, okay? So they're up there in the cold, and he's on the side of a mountain, and there's like rain pouring on him, and he just sits. He's like this. And he's like all intent, you know, rain's pouring down his face and everything, and he's got scars and everything so that chicks will dig him and everything, you know, and all that's going on. And somebody says, well, you know, what he's doing is he's going up there and he's connecting with the gods, okay, in his concept of faith. And what he's doing is he's trying to hear from the gods so that he can know what he's supposed to do. Sometimes what we think of when it comes to hearing from God is kind of like that. I need to go off by myself. I need to concentrate really hard. And if I just concentrate hard in that, that's just not nice. Seriously, again, is it on my end? No, it's your end? Okay, just so I can blame somebody else instead of me, that's all I'm asking for. Oh, there we go. Yay. Just stand there and hold it like that the entire time. That's all you got to do, and we're good to go. See, you knew this job would be like servant. You know, you just didn't know how much, right? So we get this idea that what we do is we go up by ourselves and we sit and we concentrate so hard on God that eventually, like, bells are going to start ringing and buzzers are going to start going off and lights are going to flash in our head and there's going to be some sort of hand that comes down out of the heavens and writes on the wall for us and tells us exactly what we're supposed to do. And I'll be really honest with you, I would give anything sometimes if that would happen. I mean, I would love that. God, what am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to take this job? Am I not supposed to take this job? God, am I supposed to marry this girl? Am I not supposed to marry this girl? God, should I beat the tar out of my child for what he just did or shouldn't I? You know, I mean, all those kinds of, I wish sometimes he would just come down here and write on the wall so that I knew what I was supposed to do. But the reality is that if he did that, it would probably scare me to death. So the Bible talks to us about how we are supposed to communicate with God. Now, most of us know the time that Jesus really began to teach on that. In fact, we talked about it here before, what we now call the Lord's Prayer, the model prayer. A lot of you know it. Some people grew up with it in a religious tradition where it was called the Our Father, you know, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, that whole deal. And so what we've done is we've got this understanding that communicating with God is kind of praying this prescribed prayer. And if we pray that, then God's going to communicate with us. When the reality is that Jesus used that as a model for us to pray. Not something for us just to repeat, but an idea of this is how you can talk to God. This is how you can connect with Him. But speaking to God is only part of the equation. And if you don't believe me, I want you to think about what it's like to spend time with your best friend. Okay? When my family goes someplace, my wife typically sits in the front passenger seat of our vehicle. My daughter and my son sit behind us in whatever vehicle we're in. And sometimes, you know, they'll be kind of getting in the habit where one sits behind mom, the other one sits behind dad, and then they'll switch and do stuff. You never quite know. And so it's me, it's Rachel, it's Caitlin, it's Caleb, and we're driving down the road. Caitlin is 11, Caleb is 10. And they're bright kids, they're good kids. We have a blast with them. And a lot of times what takes place is that we'll be going down the road, and about 30 minutes down the road, if it's a long trip, Rachel's asleep. Because she has a medical condition that when she gets in a moving vehicle and she's not driving, she falls asleep. It's not real, but I've given her a self-diagnosis, okay? So that's kind of what goes on. So she automatically falls asleep whenever we're in a car. Now my daughter, as soon as Rachel has fallen asleep, my daughter goes into talk mode, okay? And it is talk, 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 talk. And I love it because I'm a talker when I'm driving because it keeps me awake. And it's really, really good. And so Caleb sits there and he's playing his iPod or he's watching a movie, he's doing whatever and all. And Caitlin talks, talks, talks. But Caitlin is a younger version of her mother. And she has the same sickness. It's just not as advanced yet, okay? So she usually makes it about an hour before she falls asleep. Okay, so Rachel, she's with me for about the first 30 minutes. Caitlin's there for about the first hour. And then when they're both asleep, this amazing thing takes place. All of a sudden, when everything else has gone quiet, Caleb starts to talk. And I am telling you, there is nothing like it. I mean, he is hilarious. He is funny. And what's funniest about it, some of you have ridden in a car with my son by himself, and you know what this is like. He starts realizing that he now has opportunity to get words in that he doesn't normally have the opportunity to. So he tries to fit about 3 weeks of words into 30 minutes just in case one of the other ones wakes up. I mean, just going, 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 going. I mean, he's talk. He's telling about this, telling about that. And he is so expressive when he talks. I don't know where he gets it, okay? But he's just that way whenever he talks. And it is so cool. And I love that kind of time. In fact, sometimes we'll plan trips where if we have to split up in vehicles, Caitlin's totally content to watch a movie or do whatever. So she'll ride with mom, Caleb will ride with me, and he'll just talk the whole way there. And it's awesome. But what I learned is that the environment has to be right for him to be able to talk. And if I'm talking, the environment isn't right for him to talk. And if his mom or his sister is talking, it's not the right environment for him to talk because he doesn't want to try to compete for talk time. He wants to wait until there's time for him just to talk one-on-one and him to be able to communicate with me and I'm listening intently on him for him to be able to talk to me. Now, I want you to know, it should be the father teaching the son spiritual principles, but it began to dawn on me not long ago that my son was teaching me this incredible spiritual principle in my life. A lot of times we sit there and we go, man, I've talked to God, I've talked to God, I've talked to God, and I haven't heard anything back from Him. Not that you were expecting to hear an audible voice, but you expected to get a nudge, you expected something. But the problem is there are so many other voices in our life that are competing for our ears. There's so many other things that we're engaged with and we're doing that God is willing just to sit there in the back seat and say, hey, when everything else goes to sleep, when everything else gets put away, I am more than happy to engage you in conversation. And when Paul wrote to the Philippians, this is how he began to describe it. In Philippians chapter 4, he says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your graciousness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. And then it says these two verses that I really want you to kind of plug in on for a second. It says, don't worry about anything, but in everything, through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses every thought, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. I mean, did you hear that? Let me go back and read those two verses one more time. Don't worry about anything. I mean, that's a tall order, isn't it? Okay, I could not worry about most things, but don't worry about anything. That's a lot. Don't worry about anything, but in everything, through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses every thought, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And what I think Paul has done for us here is he has helped us to understand the reason why we communicate and how God begins to speak back into our life. First of all, why do I communicate? I communicate because my tendency, my status quo in my life is to worry and freak out about stuff. Anybody else would say that's you too? Come on now, let's just have a confessional this morning, a little Journey Church confessional, no booth for you or anything. I mean, most of us, if we're honest about it, we worry about stuff. We just do. You know, where's my rent check going to come from next month? How's that going to happen? Or what's going on with my kids? Or what's going on with my relationships? Or what's happening at school? Or what's going on at work? I mean, all these different kinds of things. We worry about them as if we could fix them all, right? I mean, we worry about silly stuff. I mean, really silly stuff. If you don't think that's true, watch a girl who's getting ready to get married, okay? She's getting ready to get married, and she has planned an outdoor wedding. And watch how much she worries about whether or not it's going to rain on her wedding day. Now let me ask you this. If she worries really, really hard, will it keep it from raining? When she sits there on the side of the mountain and just kind of squeezes her brain together, you know, and God, I don't want it to, you know. She can't stop it from raining. She can't change one little bit. But she worries about it as if she could. Now, there are some things in our life that we have the ability to influence, we have the ability to change. No question about it. Whether or not I'm doing my job, that's on me. Whether or not I'm lazy or I'm hardworking, that's on me. Whether or not I'm using the gifts that God has given me to my fullest potential, that is on me. But there are so many things in my life that I cannot control. But yet we oftentimes act and worry about things as if we could control them. So Paul says, look, here's the deal. Don't worry about anything. And now immediately people say to me, oh, but it's okay to be concerned. For most of us, concern is just another word for worry. Well, but you know, it's okay for me to care about things. As long as it's not just another word for worry. Because the Bible tells us very clearly, don't worry about anything. Oh, but that's really hard. Nobody ever said that having a relationship with Jesus was easy. Nobody ever said that following what God wanted for our lives was easy, but it's what he called us to do. He said, don't worry about anything, but in everything. Okay, so in every area of my life, not just at school, not just at home, not just at work, not just in relationships, but in everything, with prayer and petition, make your requests be made known to God. Now, what does that mean? Prayer, in our vernacular, okay, in our modern day vernacular, prayer means where I ask God for stuff. I mean, right? If we're honest about it, that's what prayer means. You know, many of us will pray three times a day if somebody's looking. Breakfast, lunch, supper. You know, you sit down. You go there, you know, and you're looking around. Well, did somebody already pray for the table or not? You know, does their prayer count for mine or not? You know, however that works. And see, some of you are looking at me like I've got two heads. I have seen you at the cafeteria. I know what it's like, okay? I've seen you get your tray, sit down, look around the aisle. Yeah, they're already eating. I'm good, you know. Somebody blessed it, you know. I had a friend of mine that he used to say that he would pray for all the groceries in the trunk of the car before they unloaded them, so that way everything was pre-blessed whenever they made dinner. You know, and it was all good to go. So a lot of people sit down, they'll pray three times a day. They'll pray for breakfast, they'll pray for lunch, they'll pray for dinner. And what they're really doing is saying, God, thanks that we got this stuff, but this is what I have to do to be able to eat. Because I've been taught through a tradition that for me to feel okay and guilt-free when it comes time to eat, I need to pray before I eat. Some of us are truly, honestly thankful, but most of us do it because of habit and ritual, not because we're really thankful in that moment for what we have. Or we pray when there's a real need. Somebody's sick, so we pray they'll be okay. Somebody's getting ready to have a baby, we'll pray that the baby will be healthy. We pray for things like that all the time, but what we think of when we say prayer is our wish list of stuff that we want. What Paul meant in that moment was that prayer is where we praise God. Prayer is where we acknowledge God for who he is and what his rightful place should be. God, you're amazing. God, you're my creator. God, you're my savior. God, you're my sustainer. That means the one that allows me to keep my life and to be able to enjoy my life. God, you are everything to me. God, you're the one that gets me through these situations in my life. God, you are holy. God, you are amazing. And we begin to say all these things about God because of who he is. That's what Paul meant when he said prayer. There were entire prayers in his culture where people would stand and they would pray sometimes for hours at a time about the attributes of God, about who he was and who we ought to see him as because of who he is. But he doesn't leave it at that. He also says through prayer, through acknowledging God for who he is, and through petition. Now that's what we think of when we think of prayer. That's our list of stuff. Okay? You know, God, I got a really big test this week. God, I need help with that. God, I ticked my girlfriend off, and I'm afraid she's really mad, so God, can you please just fix that, okay? I don't have a clue what to do. Will you fix it, right? God, you don't understand. At work, they're getting ready to do layoffs, and I'm afraid I'm the one that's going to be on the list. God, will you please take care of this? God, my grandma's sick. Will you please make her better? God, my kids are doing all sorts of stuff that I don't think is right. God, will you please help them understand what you want for their life? I mean, we begin to ask all these questions and say, God, will you please, will you please, will you please? That's petition. That's petitioning God. God, will you do something about this? There are lots of people in the world that have to petition for things that are a lot more basic than what we ask for. Realize there's hundreds of thousands of people today praying, God, could I please have something to eat? And some of us gorged ourselves on donuts this morning while we're setting up. Or we're going to complain about the food at the cafeteria today when we go there, even though we have more than enough to eat. Or we're going to go to the restaurant and leave half the food on our plate because we've got more than enough. Yet there are people that are petitioning for the very basics of life. So Paul says, look, through prayer, through acknowledging God for who he is, and through petition, make your requests made known to God. And then will you put up verse 7 for me, Jenny, please? And he says, this is what happens when you do that. It says, and the peace of God, which surpasses every thought, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And the peace of God, which surpasses every thought, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. You know the reason why you pray? You want to know the reason why you communicate? So you can be at peace. And how is it that I'm able to be at peace? It's really simple, because when I'm connected to the creator of the universe, and I'm placing my trust in him both for who he is through my prayer and with my needs that I've given him through petition, and I realize that he's the one in control and not me, all of a sudden I realize there are some things that are out of my control. So it comes down to, do I trust him or do I trust me? Do I trust God for every need in my life? Or do I trust what I'm able to do on my own? Do I trust for the way that God can provide for me and my family, or do I trust in my earning ability? Do I trust that God has the welfare of my kids at heart, or do I trust that I'm the only one that knows how to take best care of my little boy and my little girl? Do I trust him, or do I trust me? And if I am absolutely, transparently honest with you today, You need to know, I'm not trustworthy. I don't mean that in saying that I'd ever purposely deceive you or anything like that, but you know, there are times when my best intentions aren't good enough. There are times when even my best that I have to give isn't enough to make things right. I will never be able to make everyone that I'm in relationship with happy. It will never happen. There's some days I'm not even trustworthy enough for myself. I'm going to be good today. I'm going to eat right. Till the chocolate cream pie comes by. God, you created this on Mount Sinai with the Ten Commandments. So you want me to have this, right? You know? See, I'm not trustworthy to myself. But you know who is? The one who formed me. The one who created me. The one who longs for me to be in communication with him. Not just where I go through this ritual of sitting down and saying, God, give me, fix it, fix it, fix it. Can you? But God, you are amazing. God, you're incredible. You've done so much in my life. God, here are the things that I don't know how to do. Here are the things I don't know how to fix. Here are the things that I know aren't right. And God, I'm going to do everything within my power, everything that you teach me and show me that it is my responsibility to do, I'm going to do that. But God, there are things that I can't do, and there are things that I cannot fix. And so God, I'm going to put them in your hands, and then I'm going to trust you with them. And what happens sometimes when we do that is this. It's this so cool thing. When we stop trying to figure out how we're going to fix it all, we finally start being quiet. We stop trying to figure out how everyone else would fix it. We stop trying to listen to everybody else in the car. God speaks up from the back seat. He says, this is what I think. And he will pour himself out. He will pour hours of himself into minutes because he is God and time does not make a difference to him. And in those moments, he begins to communicate with us in such ways that there brings this peace that passes all understanding. One of the things that I asked some of our college students who were going to lead worship for us over these next few weeks to do, I said, would you introduce some new hymns to us? And so I've asked each one of them to introduce a new hymn every week, but yet do it in a little different way just because I'm kind of different, so I like things differently. And Kristen picked this song and then did this amazing arrangement of it this morning that we were able to do and have so much fun with. But I want you to listen to these words. Come every soul by sin oppressed. There's mercy with the Lord. And he will surely give you rest by trusting in his word. We talked about that last week. For Jesus shed his precious blood, rich blessings to bestow. Plunge now into the crimson flood that washes white as snow. Which when you think about it literally is kind of gross. You know, you take somebody that doesn't have any concept of what faith is or what that sacrificial offering is. You're like, whoa. Plunge into blood? I mean, that's something they do in third world countries. But yet, what God tells us is that when the blood of the spotless Lamb of God covers my sin, that God no longer sees my mistakes and my unrighteousness, but he sees me through the filter of Jesus Christ, and he sees me through Jesus' righteousness, and so he sees me as right in his eyes, not because of how good I am, but because of how great Jesus is. Yes, Jesus is the truth, the way that leads you into rest. Believe in him without delay, and you are fully blessed. I don't know about you. The band's going to come up here and we're going to sing this song before we go today, but let me ask you this question. Could you use some rest in your life? Could you use some peace in your life? Would you give anything for some of the stress that you deal with in your life just to fade away? Well, let me tell you, the thing that is Most important for that to happen is for you to be in personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And the way that happens is by acknowledging Jesus for who he is and what he's done. Understanding our need for him. And asking him to come in and begin relationship with us. And if that's something you've never done, if that's something that you even have questions about, in just a minute when they begin to sing, there's going to be some folks in the back with a name tag around their neck. It's going to have a white lanyard on. And those are some folks that specifically are back there just to talk with you about what that means. If you want to just talk back there while things are going on, or if you want to go someplace over to the side where it's more quiet, they'll do that too. Maybe you just like to talk with somebody about that today. But once we've begun that relationship with him, we have to understand that communication is not about just us talking to God. But it's about us talking to God and then trusting him for the response. And waiting for his timing and understanding that sometimes when he's not talking or we feel like he's not talking, it's because we got too many other things going. The radio's blaring and the DVD player is going in the back seat and this person's talking about this and this person's talking on the phone and all that noise in our life is going on and God's like, I'll just wait. I'll wait my turn. And when you want to engage with me, I will pour into you. Don't be anxious about anything. Don't worry about anything, but in everything with prayer and petition, make your requests made known to God. And he will guard your heart. He will give you rest. For it to happen, you have to. Not you should, not you could. You have to trust him and only him. Not you, not your friends, not your job, not your relationships, not your education, not your family, but you have to trust him. God, I come to you this morning and I pray that in this moment we might be reminded of our need to trust you and only you. God, it's something that we should celebrate. It's something that should be a joy in our lives. And so, God, I pray that it would be just that today, that we would be able to celebrate our ability to trust you. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.